Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in your house and to open your word. Please be with us now as we get into your word. Help us to learn it. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to grow closer to you and encourage us to share it with others. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Exploring the Word series in the book of Psalms, we pick it back up in Psalm 135. It reads, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all deep places." That verse 6 is an awesome verse there to know and acknowledge. First, it starts out great. I mean, it's just, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Then he brings our attention to the fact that whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Sovereign God in control of everything, he does what he wants to do. Verse 7, he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote? This reference to controlling the environment. I love that too. Because in this world today where everybody, even many Christians I've heard use the term Mother Nature, which is sacrilege, which is actually a form of blasphemy to acknowledge anything being done by the influence of Mother Nature. Because that's trying to give the credit of God Almighty, the one who spoke everything into existence, who controls everything by his word, including every raindrop, they try to give it to a pagan goddess, Gaia, which is also known as Mother Earth or Mother Nature. So when someone says, yeah, Mother Nature's really hard on me today, well, if Mother Nature will just back off a little bit, we'll do this or do that. And, well, Mother Nature tore up the coast with that hurricane. That's a sacrilege. That's blasphemy. Christians need to be very careful with the way they use words or the terms that is accepted by the world. It is not accepted by God. So don't be doing that, because this right here acknowledges that God is in control of all that. All the storms, the storms that have recently tore up this country, and the earthquakes that tore up Mexico and other things throughout the world, they're controlled by God. All part of his plan. We need to realize that, acknowledge that. Some of it might sound pretty horrible, things that have been accomplished by some of these horrible events that have taken place around the world, and the earthquakes and the volcanoes and the storms, the hurricanes, and so much that has happened, and so many people being killed by that, but it's still in the power and under the control of God. He spoke all this in existence. He holds it together by his word, and he's in control of all that. People want to think of God as only being kind and gentle and loving, and not realizing that he's also a God of his word, and he's a God of judgment. He's passed judgment on this planet, and it's been cursed, and all these things that are happening is part of his plan and under his control. Therefore, we must really reverend him and form a fear as well, knowing that he is in control of all that. He uses those sometimes to get our attention as well and to achieve his will in this world, because it is under his control, as he's acknowledging here. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, who both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge His people, and He will repent Himself concerning His servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, and the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. This last section here, where he's reading about this creating of these fake gods, these idols, these images, these carvings, speaking of how they are nothing but the work of man's hands, and that they are not capable of speaking or seeing or hearing, just like those that believe and trust in them. They are blind, they cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot speak, they're just covered up completely in their sin. As he continues in verse 19, "Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord." A psalm that acknowledges God's power and authority, and also acknowledging some of the things, the judgment that has come upon the people in the past. Of course, our recent trip up to the Ark Encounter to see that Ark is an awesome reminder of God's judgment, how He can judge this planet at His choice when He chooses to, in such a drastic and catastrophic way to kill every man, woman, child, and air-breathing animal on the planet by judgment. That should really remind people that there is going to be a day of accountability. It's one of the awesome things about going up there and seeing that ark, a reminder. Just as every time we see a rainbow, it ought to remind us of that as well. When we see that rainbow in the sky, people like to think, oh, how beautiful, how precious that is, and they turn it into mythical things and so forth. But it's also a reminder that judgment was upon this planet, and that there will be judgment again. So we got to understand all of His world and His will. All right, rolling around into Psalm 136. Now this one has the repeat of, "For His mercy endureth forever," 26 times. But I'm going to read that part of the verse, "For His mercy endureth forever," only on the first and the last of these. And you'll see how it flows. Now this was originally written, as we know, as a song, and it would have been sang. But as we read it, we can see the content. So we'll read it like this. "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto God of O give thanks unto the God of gods. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, to Him who alone doeth great wonders, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, to Him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, to Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever." As you can see, as we continue through this, it's a theme that different things that He has done through the ages, and an acknowledgement that His mercy definitely through all of this is still upon us and will be upon us as it continues. "The sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night, to Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, to Him which divided the Red Sea into parts and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, to Him which led His people through the wilderness, to Him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel His servant, who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. An acknowledgement of the past, an acknowledgement of even some of his judgments. You think, well, it's acknowledging here, verse 15, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. You think, well, how can that be a sign of mercy? Well, that mercy was being shown on the children of Israel at that time. His judgment was coming upon Pharaoh and his people. You think, just like we were mentioning the flood, was that very merciful that he killed every man, woman, and child, and every air-breathing person upon this planet? Yeah, he had mercy on Noah and those that he chose to come into that ark. Those that took that opportunity and came in to salvation, they received the mercy of God. Just as we know there's going to be a time of judgment on this planet, there'll be a door that will be closed once again. There'll be no more opportunity to come in to be saved, and all those that didn't come in will perish in a lake of fire this time. For eternity, where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And that don't sound very merciful. Well, he's showing mercy on those that have trusted him and have followed him and have received that mercy. You have to go and receive it, not ignore it or be contrary to it, as we have seen in the past. All right, we'll run into Psalm 137 here. Another interesting psalm. Please. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. This is speaking of a time during the Babylonian captivity when children of Israel were taken captive. They were divided, spread out. The kingdoms have already been divided, but the kingdoms went to the north, and then those that were left behind, which was Judah and the remnant of Benjamin, were taken captive and taken to Babylon and were kept captive there for 70 years. And this is speaking of a psalm that was written during that time of captivity. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hang our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Now this required of us mirth, this M-I-R-T-H means joyous time, a celebration, a festive or jubilous. They wanted them to bring them up in a song. They wanted to make a festival of it. They wanted, as it says here, required us of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth. They wanted to celebrate. But yet how could you expect a person that you have in your captivity as your slave to be very jubilant? As they continue, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Ooh, this second part's pretty harsh sounding, you might say. Where it says, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, raise it. Now this raise is R-A-S-E, also spelled R-A-Z-E, where we get the root word for razor And it's a term that's used to actually mean demolish or to destroy. It's when you're speaking of a building or a structure that's going to be razed, it is going to be torn down, not built up, when you use the word R-A-Z-E or R-A-S-E. It's the total destruction from the foundation up is what they were crying for. And this was those that came and took those captive from Jerusalem. And then there's a little bit of a curse thrown on them here, where it says, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Actually killing the children and the infants by casting them against the stones. That sounds pretty harsh. It sounds like a pretty harsh song to be singing. It doesn't sound very forgiving and loving. It sounds like vengeance. But actually, we have this in a prophecy as well in Isaiah, speaking of the destruction of Babylon in the last days. We know the judgment that comes upon mankind can be widespread, even to the point of the infants, as we have already referred to this morning about the destruction of this planet through the flood. And every man, woman, and child, all those infants, all those babies, all being drowned by the judgment of God. And this one here also speaking of a judgment that's going to come upon sinful man. But we've got to understand when a baby is wrapped up in the midst of this judgment that comes upon a nation or a group of people, that they're already sealed, or they're okay, they're going right to the Lord, because they haven't reached an age of accountability. He's just taking them out of this realm and taking them into his realm. So in that, it's a real relief to that child. It doesn't justify us to go out and kill the babies of our enemies, by no means. But by these references that we see in the scriptures, we need to understand that to us and our frame of mind, we might think such a horrible thing that judgment came upon a baby that was innocent. Well, none of us are innocent. We're born in this world filthy sinners, even a child. But that child is not accountable for that sin until he reaches an age that the Lord has determined in that particular child as being an age of accountability. So if we're taken out prior to that, they get an instant pass right to the Lord. So you got to look at it both ways there. And this here is a reference to a desire for paybacks to those that have come up against the children of Israel. And we know in the prophecies of the last days and the destruction of New Babylon that all them that are going to be there will be destroyed. Just as we know in the last days when the final judgment that comes upon all evil mankind, that all those that are not born again, that are the Lord's, they are going to be wiped out by fire and will all be killed. So there's a lot of judgment that we can see through the history, and we know in the prophecies that are going to come true in the future. I just roll right into Psalm 138. This is a psalm of David. As I will praise thee with my whole heart, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Let's bring out a point here in verse 1. It reads, I will praise thee with my whole heart, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Now, this is talking about that David had any kind of belief in that there were other gods, actually. No, this would be speaking that all of that falsehood out there. When we are in this evil world, if we are in this darkness that we see in the world today, and in the midst of that darkness that we show the light of Jesus Christ, that's kind of what he's referring to here. It's like proclaiming the true and living God amongst a world that was so filled with the pagan gods that he's speaking of here. It's not giving any acknowledgement to their existence that there is such a thing, that they are a entity or a deity or an existence other than the figment of somebody's imagination that they have invented to come up with because they have a desire to worship something and they don't want to worship God, so they come up with something else. So anything and everything that is not of Jesus Christ could be applied to this. Anything and everything that is in this world that is anti-Christ or against Christ could be part of this before the gods. Before all those things that are ungodly is what he's speaking of here. So in the midst of the darkness, you shine the light of Jesus Christ. Just as he's saying, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. So in this dark world, we need to express our love and our trust and our praise to the Lord as much as we possibly can. As he continues in verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. It's awesome here where he's acknowledging what the Lord has done for him. We need to always look back and see. It's like that song, Count Your Many Blessings. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. I think, now, is this ever going to come true, that all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord? There will be a time when that'll occur, but that's not going to be until the last days, until New Jerusalem, where it speaks of the 12 gates and that the kingdoms of the world will come in to worship in those 12 inside New Jerusalem, coming in and out those 12 gates. That will be the only time that this will actually be fulfilled, that all the kings of the earth will praise the Lord. Because we know there's a lot of kings in this world now that will not praise the Lord, that are completely contrary to him. As it continues, verse 5 again. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. That verse 8 is an awesome acknowledgement there. That the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Now this perfection here, when you see the word perfect used throughout the scriptures, most of the time it's talking about completely supplied with what you need. It's the Lord is going to give us exactly what we need, and in that we become perfect. And the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The works of thine own hands, of course, that's each and every one of us. He spoke us into existence. He has wrought, as it says, a good work in us, and he will continue that work so that we can continue to be an honor and a glory to him and grow closer and closer to him. That's all the time we have. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Even these psalms written so long ago, how they can apply to us today and tomorrow. Help us to realize that. Help us to always dig deep into all of your scriptures so that we can grow closer to you and bring honor to you. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.